We are Stephen and Jill. Together, we've been buying and reselling land since the 90s.
Our data-centric approach leaves our buyers asking, how can you sell it so cheap?
Here on the Land Academy Show,
we answer that and more. Stephen and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from the Valley of the Sun.
Today, Jill and I talk about working from home on your land business.
Pretty hot topic.
It is. I saw that, actually. I saw it. It ranked high. Like, it's something, it falls under something I thought we all would have known and how this works, but I get it, though.
Do you know what's so funny? It used to be, you, like, working from home on X, right? Meaning you would have a second job, whatever gig. Now, everybody's working from home. So it's like, what do you happen to be working from home on? Does that make sense? Are you working from home? No kidding. Is it your day job? You know what I mean? I'm just serious. So is the planet. So
it wasn't that long ago where when someone said, you know, she's working from home today.
Right.
And everybody would say, oh, she's getting nothing done. It took the day off.
Totally. She's doing laundry and she's watching movies and everything now. Like, no, it has a whole different meaning now. It's true.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And don't forget to subscribe on the Land Academy YouTube channel and comment on the shows you like.
I've got to add one little thing here too, by the way. Homeschooling has a whole new meaning now too.
It's going to be interesting how this episode goes.
I know.
Two cynical people talk about working from home.
I know. Okay. I know. All right. Back to the topic. Jeff wrote, I've been an instructor since 2008.
Flight instructor.
Okay. I thought of making flying an expense and probably would have been viable in the years before drones existed. I think you could do it as an expense, but it'd be very costly compared to the low cost of getting the same photos from a drone. If you could expense the travel, but it would be more expensive than the airlines.
Got
it. So Kevin, one of our moderator wrote, you know, you can make anything an expense.
Yep.
Get the right CPA. That's true. When I interviewed my CPA, he asked an important question. How far do you want me to push the tax laws? I tell him I'm going to push it right up to the limit of the law.
Me too.
I don't care if I'm audited as long as we document everything.
Yep.
He said, no problem. I know what to do. I think that flying over land that you have an interest in, like you can divine what an interest means, will be deductible. You will probably get audited, but make sure it's documented and handled correctly on the tax returns. I have done this with a trip in the car to another state. I drove by some parcels while I was there and noted the APNs. Totally, totally on the same page.
So I agree with just about everything that Kevin said, but he left a couple of really important key phrases out. Is it ordinary and necessary for you to get your pilot license to fly over an airplane and get good footage? That depends on what type of business you have. If you are a pilot that specializes in land, we actually have a person in our group who buys vacant land in these airplane communities where you land on your own airstrip, taxi into the hangar that is attached to your house and you live there. So if that becomes your specialization, yeah, you probably need some version of that.
Mm-hmm.
You might even have a little show about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you really need to be filming things inside of an airplane, not just with a drone. You're really separating yourself from drones. So now it becomes, for that type of business, a lot more necessary and ordinary for you to sell these properties, buy and sell properties like that. So the whole test is ordinary and necessary.
And that means not ordinary and necessary on the planet, but ordinary and necessary to you and your business.
And your specific business. And more and more and
correct.
More, that's being the definition of that's getting wider and wider and wider. I just explained it like for us, I'm extremely confident. Jill's a pilot, by the way.
Right.
It's not ordinary and necessary for us to buy a plane or rent a plane to go shoot video. But if we started down the path and we did the Jill DeWitt pilot show, and here's why we're specializing in land, then I think we could justify that expense.
Right. I was thinking of this like an accountant doesn't need to have all the latest and greatest games on the planet and all the software and headphones and stuff for all his games. However, if his his night job, right, is he's online gaming. Maybe he puts it on YouTube and he has followers and he gets some revenue from that. He's building up his own little gaming viewing community. Then it's, don't you agree?
Yeah. It wasn't not so long ago, along the lines of what Jill's saying.
Don't know where I got that random thing.
Everything.
Clearly not rehearsed.
Everything was used to neatly fit into boxes. So yeah. Jill just described when an accountant could reasonably write off. Mm-hmm. That's ordinary and necessary. Yeah. Did they need a desk? Yeah. Did they need a computer? Yeah. Probably mm-hmm. a new one every year. Do they need a telephone and ways to communicate with their clients? Do they file tax returns? Do they have employees? Do they have to have nice office space? Because that's something where this person's tax practice, they're entertaining clients in the office.
It's true.
Do I have a big staff? Can I take everybody to lunch every Friday or even every day if they're always in the office, which is even becoming more strange in these COVID times. So, you know, everything's changing.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're a professional snowboarder, there's a lot of stuff you could probably write off.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Goggles, travel, you know, all your equipment.
Can Jill expense, I shouldn't say write off, can Jill expense lipstick? Sure. Not all of her lipstick, but the lipsticks she wears on the show, believe it or not, I didn't know this till recently, it's different.
I have different wardrobes, too.
I think we made our point here.
Sorry.
Expensing, business expense. You should use that right up. Kevin's right about this. Right up to the limits of the law without dancing over that line.
Right.
Today's topic, working home from your land on your land business. This is the meat of the show. That was actually a good question for this topic.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to a show one time, somebody else's podcast, and they were like bending the rules so far back. I can't believe it. Like the way they intertwined every possible tax write-off and opening different types of, you know, savings accounts.
Oh,
and,
geez.
You know, that's creating terrible. Little companies to do move things around. It was like their podcast, seriously. And I'm like, and they were beating their chests because of how much money they made and how little they paid in taxes and maybe even none.
That's the equivalent of filming a crime spree.
I know. And I was like, so what made me think of that is there's the extreme of, hey, let's do what's right. I guess my point in this question is we want you to know what's possible. If you're not writing some of this stuff off, hold on a moment. You can get some value back here. So that's what you need to know. Now we're saying, yeah, don't try to be that guy and go out there and, you know, take it to the other extreme.
Yeah.
Thank you. So today's topic, okay, this is so working from home on your land business. So this used to be a dream. And for now, mm-hmm. a lot of people, it's reality. And it's not just because, well, it's two parts. One, because since we launched Land Academy, we used to call it the Quitters Club. Remember that?
Yeah.
So since we launched Land Academy, we have more and more people join the Quitters Club. We have some that voluntarily join the Quitters Club and some that were asked to leave their day jobs and join the Quitters Club. And I mean, asked like they got laid off. That happens. And a lot of people said, oh, thank God. I'm so glad. And then there's a lot of people out there that are still, they're working from home right now. This is a whole different shift. We used to have a lot of people that came to us and they're like, I just hate the commute. I hate the city I'm in. I hate having to do this. I have to be there. I take drive an hour and a half and then spend 8 hours and drive home. I never see my family. I want to do something else like land so I can work from home. So now we still have some of that, but now it's more like, okay, I'm working from home. I took out my commute. I see my family. I don't really get to talk to them because I'm on Zoom meetings all day long. So I have to, now I really want to make a transition to working on what I want to work on and setting my own hours and deciding how I want it to go.
Working from home is norm now.
Yeah.
I swear that's why consumer consumption's way up. You know, people are buying, we had to wait half a year to get an RV recently, Jill and I. If we could find one at all.
Right.
And it seems like more and more it's just, that's just the way it is. And I'm convinced it's a direct result of everybody being effectively, that's the key word for me here, really effectively working from home. So mm-hmm. what does effectively mean? This is really what I want to talk about. Because Jill and I had a pretty significant difference of opinion about this early on when she actually ultimately quit her W-2 job and we started working together. Working from home is much, much harder for the vast majority of people than it is just going to the office. You can drag yourself, you can drink all night, drag yourself to the office, make a cup of coffee and go hide.
Yeah.
You can't do that at home.
Well, you can.
No, this is where the difference is.
Oh.
You should never do that at home.
That's true.
You should be harder on yourself than any boss you've ever had. You should have a full schedule. You should know exactly by the time Sunday rolls around, you should know exactly what's going on that week. You've backed your goals into it. You know exactly what you're doing on Monday morning, what time you're supposed to be sitting at your desk, what you're supposed to record, who you're, you know, how many offers you're supposed to get out. You have to have a serious, in my opinion, schedule, and you have to stick to it and show up for it. So I'm much harder boss than I've ever had. I'm less of a, I can't say these negative words.
Sure you can. Why hold back now? You didn't hold back before.
I think I'm more.
On the first 1600 episodes, you didn't hold back.
I think I'm a lot more fair than the real bad ones that I've had in the past. But I think I also.
Boss wise?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I expect a lot.
Oh my gosh.
I expect stuff to be stuff. Really?
Yeah.
I expect stuff to be on time. So that's what I mean. Effective at work. Like we have two really good friends, lifelong social friends. And they're very high up in really large companies. And they've been effectively working at home. Why? Because they totally, the people that are under them, they have meetings daily. They stick to a schedule and they work it all out. So this is not for everybody.
True. It is still hard. Well, you know, and we are so lucky. When we transitioned a year and a half ago to everybody going home, 90 to 95% of our employees could hack it. There was a small, less than 10%, obviously, that couldn't make it. And they're not with us anymore. They couldn't focus. They couldn't do it. They didn't have the self-discipline.
That's what it is, self-discipline. I was going to use the same word. It would be impossible for me to work at home without a calendar. And in the beginning, it was printed out Excel sheets on my desk, believe it or not, so that I would make sure I would show up with a lot of eraser and fill back in eraser and a lot of broken pencils. So it just, you know, I remember actually working at home for the first time a lot of years ago. I don't know why. It was probably something like you described. I didn't want to do it. Like I either got laid off or I think that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And it's just this sunken, terrible feeling. It's like, I don't know what to do.
And like you're in a timeout.
And it's like, after about a week of that, it's like, what do you mean you don't know what to do? You know exactly what to do. What I was really, it's not that I didn't know what to do. I was so inefficient actually going into an office. It was silly.
I agree with that.
I mean, what did you say? You're famous for saying, I can get everything done. Jill used to get everything done for her entire work month in like 5 days.
It's like, yeah, it's not my fault if I can do it in you know, 8 hours and it takes you 40.
So if you're shaking your head going, oh, geez, I'm just like Jill, working at home's for you. Mm-hmm. If you're shaking your head saying, oh, I would never get up. I wouldn't get up till 11 o'clock every day if I had worked at home. This isn't for you.
Yeah. You know, there's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. And you have to find your own balance and find your own groove because two things can happen. One is, like you said, you're not going to get up at 11. And 11 becomes one. 11 becomes, you know, one becomes three. You're like, nah, well, today's shot. I'll do it. I'll try it tomorrow. And then the other extreme is you're like, you hit the ground running and then you cram more on and more on more and you're worn out. You are doing in 90 days what you used to do in 30, which is not bad, but you don't want to, you know, alienate your family and friends because you never come out of your office. So there's a good balance. And because I have been guilty of the second one.
Yes, you have.
I have been guilty of sitting at my desk, really working. Now, and that's probably why you're like, what are you doing in there? Well, sometimes I'm really not working. It's just my space now. But in the past, I've been in there and I get so into what I'm doing and I'm making progress and I'm working on, you know, whatever project it is. I forget to eat lunch and then I'm grumpy. 4 o'clock rolls around and no one's seen me, you know, and I'm like, you know, then it's not fun. So you got to take care of yourself.
The way that we used to go to college, it's the same thing. And I'm noticing now that this is not how kids go to college anymore. So, yeah. You know, my first year in college, I lived in a dorm with two other idiot guys. And, you know, I took as many classes. I remember taking as many classes, the fullest class load I could take, because I didn't trust myself.
Oh, to have any downtime?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, I needed to study or be at school. And eventually I had to work.
That was good. That was your freshman year you did that?
Yeah, not the entire year. The first, we were on trimesters back then at Michigan State. It's semesters now, but the first two trimesters, I had to really prove it to myself. And then I did. And then I, like every college kid, went over the deep end on the other side.
Yeah.
Then I had to make up for it. You know, it's just, that's what college is not to learn. We know what we're all going to learn in college. Maybe right. A few more Spanish words is what we, you know, we take Spanish, the language, or.
Right.
Or you're not going to learn anything in math. I'll tell you that after doing okay in high school. You learn that other stuff, like mm-hmm. how to manage your time.
Right.
How to show up. How to show up.
That's where I failed. So when I first got to college, it was like the first time, truth time, I ditched a full week my senior year in high school. And prior to that, I ditched like 1 or 2 days here and there. And that was it. I was like so into school. I really liked it.
In high school.
I really showed up. I was like teacher's
pet. So what happened
pet.
In college? I don't understand.
Well, then I get to college. Well, then you're supposed to show up. So I did show up. So I get to college and the teachers are like, you know what? It kind of doesn't really matter. The lectures are going to be here. Here's where you can find them. And you can share notes. Here's, you know, you have your syllabus. I really care that you're here for the midterm and final and this and this. And I'm like, and that was in every class. But there were a couple classes like that. I'm like, oh, like a psychology class or maybe a theater class or something. I'm like, you may have to watch a couple movies and I just show up for a test.
So and then write a paper.
I know. Boy, did I take that to the other. And then, of course, I did do the 3 o'clock, but came 5 o'clock. Today's shot. Oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow. So I goofed that up. So anyway. We don't need more about me.
Yeah, we do. That's the best part of the episode.
Oh, shoot. Do you want to know how it ended?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
I do.
Here's how it ended. So my sweet parents said, well, Jill, we happen to be moving at the end of your freshman year anyway. We are moving from Garden Grove. Like, Dad got that good job.
Did you ever notice
good
how pilot people, job. People from California just say the city?
Yeah, that's true.
And they just assume that the entire, because that's the center of the universe is where they
California.
Live in, where they live in California. So I live in, oh, I'm from Garden Grove. Oh, really? I'm from Dublin, Ireland. People don't even say Dublin. They say Dublin, Ireland, or Tokyo, Japan, or New York, New York.
I could have given you the freeway. I could have said right off the 22, but I won't do that. Anyway.
It's such a California thing.
I know we do that. You're right. So anyway, we moved to Laguna Hills, California, which was about 30 minutes south, which put me a good maybe 45 minutes or so from my college at the time, which was Cal State Fullerton in Fullerton.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about. Thank you.
So then my parents said, we're moving. And they said, you know what, Joe? You can just goof off down at Saddleback Community College in Mission Viejo, California. So that's what happened. And there you go. And then I'm not going to go into the rest from there. It was all over the place after that. And no, I never finished. That's the end of the story.
Yes, it is. And here you are.
Yeah, here I am.
Well, you know what? Real quick.
Okay.
Do you effectively work from home now?
Do I work from home now?
Do you effectively do it?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, me too. I think so, too.
Oh, I nail it.
Like
at
to
home.
The nines, actually.
Totally.
We've got, this is the truth. Here's truth time. This episode went way over in time. We can effectively do, both of us, our entire responsibilities for all the companies that we operate, with the exception of land. So Land Academy and all this other stuff, like this show, 2 days a week. Mm. If we bust it from sun up, sundown, 2 days a week. The problem with land, it's not a problem because, you know, I'm talking to you because you have a land business or you want one, is you have to really be available.
Right.
And so it's more of a, it's not a jam it up, get it all done, then go have fun, which was what college was.
Could you imagine?
But it's really a spread out, I got to answer the phone during dinner kind of thing.
Oh, no. This is what it's, here's what I've been painting the picture. Hi. Oh, but can you imagine putting this on our offer? And if you have anything to say, we accept phone calls from sellers between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Mondays and Tuesdays.
That would wreck your career.
Could
overnight.
You imagine? And then, and buyers, we accept calls between 2 and 4 p.m. on Mondays and Tuesdays.
So I'll leave you with this.
That wouldn't work.
Chances are, if you don't work from home right now, and you do try to do this, or you do a bunch of deals and you decide to make the shift, like many, many people have recently, or those are the reports that we're getting, shift to go to work from home, there's going to be a big adjustment.
Yeah.
And you will probably not, for quite some time, be as effective as you were if you worked somewhere else.
That's
there's
okay.
too much distraction, but it's worth it at the end. Mm-hmm. You just make sure that Sunday's laundry day, not one load every day and all that.
Good point. Need to send out a few thousand offers to property owners like us? Check out offers and the number 2owners.com. So that's offers2owners.com. No setup fees, free mail merge, exceptional service, and now including just release for everyone, concierge data and pricing. It's awesome. Give Offers to Owners a call today. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called, it's Beginner's Guide to Doing Land Deals by Jill. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Just throw that in there.
Yeah.
It's not my topic. It's our topic. It's our show, not my show. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.